Merry Christmas. morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. By now you've begun to experience the presence of God in this space, realize that something very special happens here when God's people join together for one purpose. And if you're visiting today, we know you're going to also feel the welcome of the Holy Spirit among God's people, and you're going to hear God's voice say that you're welcome in our midst. We want to begin our observation day of the second Sunday in Advent, have the Hornby family come, and for the lighting of the candle.
Today, we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of peace. This week's Advent Bible reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written...
Oh. That's okay. This is a gospel reading today. I didn't tell you that.
As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' Listen to the voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. The time is coming. John the baptizer tells us, now is the time to prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Make the rough places smooth, straighten the crooked places, prepare all the paths so that hope may find its way. Make room for the Holy One. Empty out a space in the inn, in the stable, in the corners of our hearts. Make room for his peace in the busyness, in the crowds, in our filled up, frantic lives. Heed the call to prepare space in our hearts and lives for Christ's birth. As we light this second candle of Advent, let us pray for wisdom and courage to prepare ourselves to receive God's holy child. Listen to the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness." Let us pray. As we light the second Advent candle, dear Jesus Christ, we pray that we will find a way to be a part of preparing your way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The call to worship is verses 1 and 2 of 2:11. O come, Emmanuel.
Her ways to go. Rejoice.
rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The hymn of praise is, O Come, All Ye Faithful, verses 1 through 3. Let's continue in the thought and attitude of praise. If you have a word of testimony, praise to God you want to share this morning, now's the time to do that. Yes, ma'am, Martha.
I want to thank God for the musicians that are in this church. I know. Bless me.
I know.
Thank you for what you do.
Amen. And you know, we caught Ann off guard a little while ago. We certainly appreciate her every single Sunday.
It
was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Thank you for that attitude, too. Let's see. We also want to thank those who came and decorated our sanctuary. The calendar jumped ahead of us, and we put out a call, and certain people who knew where the keys and the stickers were came and did the work. So it was a beautiful sanctuary decoration. So thank you as well. Words of praise and thanksgiving. Jessica?
Well, our family is growing again. I feel like I keep saying this, but we're going to welcome another grandbaby in March. Dylan and his girlfriend Natalie are having a little boy.
Okay. So a little boy in March. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank Bailey Finch for hosting the ladies' Christmas lunch yesterday. And it was a small group, but we have $220 in gift cards.
Awesome. That's great news. I'm sure the fellowship was wonderful, too. Others? Yes, ma'am, Inel.
Well, I'm praising the Lord. Another anniversary of the trip around the sun today.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Say what?
My birthday.
Oh, really?
Burger, who loved this church, and every time she was here, she stood up and said she
congregation is so thankful to be here. So I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Her legacy here in this church.
She'd also point to the Lord and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Noel turned 5 this week.
5, 5, 5! All right. God, you don't seem, it just doesn't seem like 5 years. Happy birthday, Noel.
Thank you.
Mandy, you're welcome.
My friend Howard Cleveland that was, is having brain surgery.
Yes. Okay.
And amazing that you can have screws put in your brain on a Thursday and the next day, or, you know, 2 days later, not need any pain medicine.
Wow.
It's just amazing.
It's amazing.
He has his, the lines are, I can't remember exactly what they're called, are put in with some more screws on this coming Thursday. It's a much longer surgery. And he'll inpatient, so just continue prayers for he and his family.
I think Kathy Harrison could probably fill us in on some of the technical names of things, but oh well. She's kind of wired up too.
All right.
other praises this morning? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to thank the Lord for what he's done for Kathy.
Amen.
I mean, it's awesome.
You didn't see her Charles on the altar last Sunday?
Yes, ma'am. I sure did.
And it just warms my heart, makes me want to cry.
And it's also a story of victory because, you know, Satan devises all kinds of things to tear us down. The ultimate purpose is to tear down the church and the glory of God through our pain and our suffering and sin. But by God's grace, we get victory in Jesus Christ. And it's over the top victory too, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Other praise? Yes, Flo?
We thank the Lord for the rain. We need it. He knows our needs. He never fails.
Amen. All right. What about our prayer concerns this week? Who are we praying for? Brenda?
Joe and Brenda Lee.
Joe and Brenda Lee? I know.
Continued prayers for Linda.
Linda Laster. And Butch continues to need our prayers. I think Butch has made some steps and taken some steps, and so we're very happy for that progress for him. Martha?
Becky is not, she came to Sunday school this morning to teach, but she's gone home. She just has a cold, but still is pretty miserable.
Okay, so for Becky Hoover. Others? Marlene?
I'm having surgery on kidney Wednesday.
Wednesday? All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing a story of relief. Yeah. Boys?
I'd like to remember Jimmy Brown, my longtime life friend. We're probably going to have to pray about those two. But anyway, he has promptly been called into bad situation in hospice. Is probably going to take him out over in this week, so we just pray for his life and pray for everything.
Yeah, we pray for you in this season of life too, boys, when many, many friends, you seem to hear that kind of news a lot, and sometimes it can seem like we're always losing, but we need to remember our friends who die in Christ aren't dead at all. Mandy? Say it again.
The family of Valerie Ortega Whiteside.
Oh, Valerie Ortega Whiteside.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Who's that with the hand? Emily?
Ann Miller.
Okay.
Ann Miller.
Thank you. Terry Brown. Terry. Terry Belcher.
I was going to say the Whiteside family.
Okay, thank you. Monty? We couldn't get that one.
Tammy Shreve.
Okay. May have to get that written down. All right. We experience week by week and day by day the power and the marvelous mystery of God's healing love through touches in people's lives, and we lay it all up, leave it all up to Him. But He has invited us to partner with Him in prayer for people, and we believe strongly in that. So let's now go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we can indeed hear our Savior calling. And we are amazed at the simple fact of having removed all other noises, coming away from all other tempests in our lives, all other temptations and clamor, to a moment when we expect to hear. Even now, Lord, we realize that we are invited to hear always, to always keep our lives at such a timbre and pace that we could hear Your calling. God, we thank You for the gift of this day, for the gift of those around us, and for this community. We thank You for the community of faith around us, for all of the churches, all the clusters of people who gather in Christ's name. We thank You, God, that we are on a journey together. And we ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us, all of us, that we might understand what it is to be a beacon of Jesus, to be His messengers. That we are not the judges of the world. We're the messengers to the world. God, we thank You that in our worship today, Your Spirit will have sway. We ask You to intervene and interrupt in any way You see fit. God, take over and guide our hearts and minds into places You want us to be today. Be powerfully with Your Word, spoken, sung, proclaimed, prayed, and God, in our prayers for others. As we lay each concern before You, they represent a heart that cares, a friend who has brought them, and a family and others who have their hearts heavy. In each case, God, as You work Your very best will, help those who pray, God, to understand and know that our God is a mighty God, a good Father. We seek from Your hand, Lord, Your best in every situation. Now, Lord, as we go through this service, we pray that You will equip us for a week filled with the joyful news that Christ is among us. We pray the prayer that He taught us as an example, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Can I say one more blessing thing I didn't think of? My grandson was involved in an accident. He and his girlfriend were run off the road on 26, and they hit the wire stuff or whatever, spun around a couple of times, but they were not hurt.
Who was this?
My grandson and his girlfriend.
Okay. Your grandson had a high-speed accident on I-26?
A man pulled over. They were in fast lane. He pulled over onto a man.
Cut onto
him. Spun around.
All right. Praise the Lord. Great for their both
of
doing. Yeah. All right, let's take some time now to cover a few announcements. We are happily working our way through our Advent missions list. And Jessica, do you have anything more to add?
good morning. This Sunday, our focus is joy. I'm sorry. This Sunday, our focus is Miracle Hill Ministries. Sorry, I jumped ahead. And so we will be collecting for Miracle Hill. Alice talked about them last week. And this week, I would like to highlight what we are going to be doing for next week, which is the Rosewood Assisted Living, the nursing home, and Pauline. They have been in business and serving our community for over 20 years. And we have had quite a few dealings with them through the years, and as a congregation have really supported them. But next Sunday, we will be collecting stockings. And some of you were involved. We've got stockings up here for you to pick up at the end of the service today to take home and fill. And we would like those brought back next Sunday so that we can deliver them next Sunday when we attend. And Carol Allen is going to go with us and bring his guitar. And we're going to sing and just visit with the residents and pass out stockings. So we did this last year. It was just a huge blessing for every single one of us that were there. And I hope that we are able to enjoy that blessing again next week. So it'll be next week at 2 o'clock. We will meet over at Rosewood. And if you guys have any questions, just ask Kevin or myself.
Thank you. Coming up on the calendar, of course, we have our regular events this week. Bible study on Tuesday at noon. We have prayer here in the sanctuary on Thursday nights. You're always invited to that. It's very informal. And lasts as long as it lasts, usually less than an hour. And we'd love to see some new faces from time to time as we pray for our congregation. This is a prayed over space, and we're very intentional about that. So we invite you to that. Now, Tuesday a week, not this coming Tuesday, but in the evening on Tuesday the 19th at 6 o'clock, the Child Development Center, our daycare, will be putting on a live nativity scene here in the sanctuary. I think it's a wonderful way and one of the few ways we have through the year to show our support of them. So if you're free, we'd love to have you come and be a part of that on that Tuesday evening. And then on Christmas Eve, we will have a candlelight communion service here in the sanctuary beginning at 5 o'clock. So please be aware of that. I want to remind you that we have devotional materials for you. You can still get them over here on the piano. This is the adult version of a devotional for Advent. And there are also children and family resources as well. And these are free for you to take until they're gone. So be aware of that. Were there any other announcements that needed to be made? Yes, ma'am.
The usher and flower list are going around
for next year. Our usher and flower lists are sadly depleted. We need folks to sign up to do both. It's an opportunity to serve through giving flowers or through being an usher. And we look forward to having folks sign up for that. Others? I know.
Beans and Greens is coming January 1st.
Yeah.
So we need to be thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The sign will be changed like that. Okay. So that the community can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's being worked on as we speak. Are there other announcements? Okay, well, if not, then we'll have the ushers come forward and we'll receive God's tithe and our offering. Huh? Oh, I need to do it today. Okay, I'll go do it today.
Sometimes they make me work for my money. I get 4 plates full of money every time. Father, we thank you for the abundance you pour into our lives. We hereby acknowledge, God, your ownership of all that we have. Thank you for the opportunity to be stewards. We receive this offering and this tithe in the hopes that we will see you serve. We will serve your kingdom through your stewardship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Child is ready to lay you to
Stand for the reading.
Our scripture today is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 13. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind, way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the Father fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heaven existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by the means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact. Believe that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is what we believe.
Thanks be to God.
Let's present the offering at the altar.
Share a poem with you. When I used to teach school over at Westgate, I had first graders memorize this, and it's a Christmas poem. I'm not going to tell you the title until the very end because that would give it away. So, I had the nicest Christmas list, the longest one in town, till Daddy looked at it and said, "You'll have to cut it down." I know that what he said was true, beyond the faintest doubt, but was amazed to hear him say, "You've left your best friend out." And so I scanned my list again and said, "Oh, that's not true." But Daddy said, "His name's not there, that friend that died for you." And then I clearly understood 'twas Jesus that he meant. For him who should come first of all, I hadn't planned a cent. I made a Christmas birthday list and left the Savior out. But oh, it didn't take me long to change the list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I like a lot, my Lord must have the most because his name is at the top. And the name of that poem is "His Name at the Top." And we don't know who wrote it, but it's thought-provoking.
So. Yeah, a few people seem to know it.
Well, it's been around a while.
All right, we'll let the children who want to depart for children's lesson. Well, I've been trying to see just how deep a hole I could dig with a sermon before I fell in it. And it turns out it takes 3 weeks, not just two. So this will be the second part of a 3-week installment on Christmas. And it's amazing, though, to hear a poem that is such a good example of a time when imagination and imagery and fairy tales and all of those things were a vital, important part of our development as human beings. In a day in which screens have taken over our imagination and facts and figures have become our daily whatever, it's important to remember that our lives are also informed by the imagery of song and poetry and plain daydreaming sometimes. So in that in mind, today I want to present a contrast, continuing the contrast we set up last week on Christmas. So next week we will focus on the fusion of pagan and religious ideas and holidays, but this week we're going to look a little deeper into music. open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you are present with us, and you always have a lesson that we can take with us and chew on and let it become a part of our worldview. And we thank you that as you build this worldview of Christ in our hearts, that we will become more charitable and more loving because we love the truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah was written in 1741. I wanted to read it to you, and I realized there are so many hallelujahs in it that I couldn't quite get there. Now, it's interesting that Jason sang a version. Is that Sam? Is that Cohen? Who's the one that writes Hallelujah?
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen, a Jew. Who wrote it in an almost psychotic fugue of depression. I think he lay around his apartment naked for days. And this strange song, Hallelujah, came forth. And then we have so many little Christian iterations made on it. We have some for Easter and for Christmas. It's amazing this contribution of a song called Hallelujah. Halal, which is praise. Essentially, Hallelujah means praise God. But Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. That's the beginning. Now from now on, I'm just going to tell you how many times he says Hallelujah. This was written in 24 days. 206 pages of the Messiah. But the Hallelujah Chorus, the next words are, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Hallelujah. 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 And then, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And then 19 hallelujahs. "The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ." And of his Christ. "And he shall reign forever and ever." And then it repeats, "And he shall reign forever and ever. Forever and ever, forever and ever. King of kings, forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord of lords, forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah." And then it repeats, "King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords, forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings, forever and ever. And he shall reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah." Up until the 20th century, this music was representative of what filled the hearts and minds of Christians at Christmas. Along with many of the hymns we sing from our hymnal throughout Advent and into the Christian season, Christmas season. But strangely, in the last century, in the 20th century, the most popular secular Christmas songs, the number one song, "White Christmas, I'm Dreaming of a White," written by a Jewish songwriter, Irving Berlin. It was described by author Philip Roth as a song that de-Christs Christmas and turns it into a holiday about snow. "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. And how about It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Jewish songwriter George Wiley. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings. When friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Last week we commented. Now today I'm only going to be reading quotes from Jewish authors. I'm not going to say anything that is viewed outside of Jewish culture. Okay? If you stay long enough, you'll hear the connection. But we remarked last week that Jewish people made up only 3% of North America's population in 1950. And yet they created more than 50% of the current Christmas songs. Christmas songs were written by Jewish songwriters as a means to secularize and de-Christianize the holiday while simultaneously expressing pride in Jewish identity. Ordained Reform Rabbi Dr. Joshua Eli Plout, in his book, A Kosher Christmas, 'Tis the Season to be Jewish, writes, "The main motivations for playing the role of Santa are to make children happy and to spread holiday cheer and goodwill." Plout says Christmas has become an occasion for Jewish volunteerism in a wide variety of areas, most notably feeding the hungry and providing other charitable assistance to the poor and homeless, providing a wide range of volunteering tasks on Christmas Day, and thus allowing many Christians to celebrate the holiday with their family. As renowned Jewish historian Jonathan Sarna notes in his foreword to the book, Christmas has changed over the years from being a religious holiday that minorities are not a part of to a national holiday that can encompass all Americans, Christian or not. Sarna writes, "You don't have to be a Christian to love Christmas." In much the same way, Christmas itself has been depleted of its theological underpinnings in the public arena, unlike in the homes of churches and devout Christians, homes of Christians, devout Christians in their churches. By the separation of church and state, by the commercialization of the holiday, and by what some may describe as a devious Jewish plot. One more quote. Rabbi Micah Pels writes, "In Christmas and Jews, a time for appreciation, not appropriation." Christmas time for Jews in America is not only marked by Chinese food and movies. For parents of young children, it is also marked by questions. Now, keep this stuff in mind. How come they have lights on their house and we don't? Why don't we have a Christmas tree? Why can't I sit on Santa's lap? These questions are not just about Christmas. They are questions of identity. It is at this time of year that Jewish children in America first realize they are different, that there are some things they do differently than their neighbors. And being different, especially at Christmas, is not always so easy. Our goal as parents, while explaining Christmas to our children, should not be to compete with it. Let's face it, when it comes to holiday shtick, they have us beat. Parents' guiding principle in answering their children's question at this time of year should be appreciation and not appropriation. As Dr. Ron Wolfson has written, it's fine to appreciate the decorations and songs of Christmas, but we must be clear with our children that they are not ours. They belong to someone else. And there's more to that if I can find it. By doing this, we show respect for another religion while also establishing clear boundaries that help our children form their Jewish identity as well. And why am I going on with this? I could say a bunch more. There's plenty out there, and all you have to do is read from Jewish sources to understand a Jewish understanding of what's happened. But we know that up until about the 40s, 1940s, Christmas was a very different kind of observation. We're not even going to get into the commercialization, which is really what I thought I would be getting into, which was when giant corporations used Santa Claus and jingle bells and sleighs with reindeers to capture multiple millions of dollars in sales at Christmas time, and to create a hype around Christmas in our culture. Not only that, I spent most of the day yesterday, and I could barely walk today, decorating my parents' house. And it's a big house. And why? Because Daddy has to have those lights on. Sorry, Pop, I hope you never see this. But I realized as we went through the day and the untangling of thousands of lights and the, oh, how much garland can one family need? That we were striving to recreate an atmosphere that my mom and dad enjoyed for as long as I've been alive. A time when the children would be attracted back home. A time when it was okay to be sentimental and have warm colors and lights around certain meals that made us feel good. To feel the loss at Christmas when a loved one had passed away during the year. Significant losses caused significant pain around holidays. It's part of our cultural ethos. It's part of what we create as people in America. There are plenty of reasons why from the 50s and the burgeoning of Christmas music, secular Christmas music in the 50s, when many of you were children and teenagers, to know why it pervasively took over the culture at Christmas through the 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s. Dadgum, I mean, all we had to play with every year was sticks. I still remember how badly I wanted a go-kart. I'd only seen two. But I just knew Santa really loved me, and I was nice and not naughty. I could get a go-kart. He always seemed to forget. I got through it. I survived. And much of the American innovation and our cultural expansion took place because of vivid imagination, helped on by fairy tales, magic, and visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads, not to mention a little bit of wooziness from eating all that lead paint. That time now is sort of diminishing and fading into past view, and I wanted to look at what the Jews had taken as a challenging project of their own in this culture, to look at how we should now face Christmas. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us that, that's not the scripture you heard read, but he tells us that we are strangers and sojourners in this world. That this is not our home. That our citizenship is elsewhere. That Christmas, up until we got to focusing on that tiny little baby in a manger, was about the advent of the second coming of the King. As Handel's Messiah says, and he will reign forever and ever. The kingdom of our God is now the kingdom of his Christ. And so, with time and refocusing, and a country recovering out of the most massive world war ever, we came home and we retreated into our church sanctuaries and we planted firmly flags in each corner. We closed the doors to the world and said we had conquered evil. We restored family harmony. And we had a sense of cultural Christian pride as Americans. We, of course, had no idea that the runaway expansion of Christmas due to commercial interests and, you know, chocolate factories and places like that would have on the culture. And I'm especially right now thinking of Budweiser and those big horses, those Clydesdales, and snow. Just think of how much a part of you that is. Now, since we're talking about Budweiser, it's going to go right over your head. But I still remember Snoopy flying through the air. You remember that? Some of you do. In Budweiser's campaign. That was a long time ago. I just lost my sermon. Sorry, Holy Spirit. And the whole point is here, in the early 1900s, in the face of persecution and worldwide rejection, the Jews in America were feeling their place. But they were also feeling the opportunity in a land of opportunity. And they had this cultural knack for playwriting and screenwriting and for directing movies and writing songs and scores for Broadway plays. Except at Christmas time, as it said, that when they developed this strange tradition of going out for Chinese food at Christmas. Because the Chinese people weren't celebrating Christmas either, so it worked out. And how a need for to interpret the culture to their children in a way that was healthy. And I just read direct quotes on the success they enjoyed. Not only was Hanukkah taken from a minor holiday in the Jewish calendar to a major focus at that season of the year, they also began to get 8 different nights worth of gifts. All of that an innovation in the last 100 years. Folks, we definitely are standing against a tide. At times, it seems overwhelming of the secular culture appropriating our Christmas. Christmas, the word that means Christ's birth. But I'm hoping that you begin to understand the reasons why things happen like that. And what do we say to new generations who are raised on telephone screens and tablets and Windows 98? What, they've got a new one now? Man, I still remember when I got that Atari thing where you could spin the wheel and the ball would go boop, boop, boop. Oh, excuse me. Things have changed. Times have changed. The usefulness of an active and overactive imagination have changed. Many of us who enjoy those very fairy tales, J.R. Tolkien, just those who enjoyed the fairy tales, now view harshly and look down our noses at any kind of magical or secular expression of fairy tales. We see them as anti-Christian enemies of our faith. And as a lover of truth, I hear Jesus talking to me constantly when I say, Lord, I need to love more. I need to love more. And he says, love truth most of all. And you will love more. Let's not be afraid to look into the causes of things that we see as opposed to us, or the reasons behind why people see things differently, especially minority religions in our country. But the Jews have faced this with an amazing creativity in a way of telling their children that it's not their religion. The reason you can't do those things, and it gets me a little bit that they say you can't sit on Santa's lap because those are Christians. That's a little bit weird. Okay, that's a lot weird. Anyway, to explain, to interpret, to take the hard work of parenting and do it. To explain to your children that some things belong to people in the culture who aren't like us. They do things differently because they believe differently from us. But we observe things in a different way. Look, I don't want to talk about whose Christmas it was first. Let's talk about the two different kinds of expressions of Christmas. The cultural, secular expression and the Christian expression of Christmas. And when we come to Easter, and we know more directly about appropriation of pagan cultures and holidays, we look more to what we can do at that as well. Next Sunday, as I said, we're going to look into a little bit more about the imagination and the tales of culture and where they come from, about how they affect our worldview and our upbringing, about the dangers and about the values of allowing our children to think for themselves. The answer here, folks, is not to cloister ourselves away, nor our children away, to keep them from being exposed. You know, I used to think if I could just protect my children from everything, it'd be okay. And then one day, the world hit my family with a 2x4. And because we didn't run from the world and because we didn't reinterpret or imagine the world away, we were able to help them understand the world in which they live. But when I decided to become a pastor because God wouldn't stop calling me, I found out that I was going to have to go to school, which just killed me, believe me. So at the age of 30, I enrolled in college. I decided to major in a very useful degree field, philosophy. You know anybody that's been hired as a philosophy major? It's a throwaway degree. Anyway, I sat in that class and watched a former Christian, an atheist, dean of philosophy, destroy the faith of little Baptist boys and girls. A faith that really didn't belong to them. They'd just been taught how to recite everything. A faith they'd never thought about or wrestled with or even questioned until a man came and kicked the stops out from under them. And then they cried their way through the semester. And he enjoyed making mincemeat of their faith. And God gave me a little ministry of coming alongside these kids outside in the common area and just talking to them and saying, how much of what you believe is what you believe? And how much of it is what your grandma told you you believe? We owe our children more than just to hide them from the realities of this world, but to explain it thoroughly to them. I didn't plan an ending for the sermon because I really didn't know how I'd get it started. So next week, we'll poke a little further fun into some popular imagery. But it's important for us to realize that we have our instructions as regards holidays, observations of rituals, of food and drink. Let no one judge you. Let no one hold you to task on account of rituals, of phases of the moon festivals, and other things. When you're in Christ, you've been set free from such things. So let's, at least today, unload our guns and realize that the hordes aren't at the door trying to destroy our Christmas. They just want to take Christ out of your mouth. If they can. Was he really in your heart? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom you give us to accept that we live in a world that is not our home, filled with cultures of every kind, traditions and habits that are unspeakable to us. But many times, often, there's an interpretation and a reason that can be found out. But God, we know that some of our holidays are filled with demonic intentions, filled with hurtful ideas and thoughts. Help us to not only be apprised of these things, but to be teaching our children the truth. And be with us, especially in this time of year of sentiment, time when our hearts are warmed by the presence of family and friends, to remember that Christ not only has come as a child in a manger, but He is coming. His advent is very soon. We look forward to the coming of your Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to spend a few minutes to reflect on this message, and then we'll continue to serve.
No chairs to sit in.
The final hymn is The First Noel. Let's stand and sing together. 245.
Knowledge of Christ is the center of your life and faith. He will guide you to be your North Star this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.